We're going to have so much fun today. Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our guest this hour, in her eighth grade yearbook, wrote, Julia Collins will be the 10-time Jeopardy champion, winning each tournament twice. And she won her 20th straight game on Jeopardy earlier in June. You know this if you're a fan of the program, as people in my family certainly are. The winning streak is second only to Ken Jennings in the show's 50-year history. She won $428,000 $428,000. Well, a little over that is what she won, more than any other woman who has appeared on the show. She's a native of Kenilworth, Illinois. She has a degree in history and in art history, and she also has a master's degree in engineering. She went to Wellesley and to MIT. She's only 31 years old. She's a business consultant, a voracious reader, and she tweeted during the Jeopardy run. It was obvious from reading those tweets that she was having one wonderful time. How do you prepare for Jeopardy? How do you come up with the answer right away? How fast do you have to hit that buzzer? And how in the world do you remember the vast amount of knowledge that she has in her head in so many different categories? And how do you get on the show? We have so much to talk about this hour with Julia, and we'll be welcoming phone calls as we move along here for you to join our conversation. The phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we're also on Twitter at @KDunn Show. Maybe there are some of you listening who have been on the program at some time, or you would like to get on the program, or you saw Julia's amazing streak and would like to tell her what you thought about all of that. Julia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our great pleasure. I'm a great fan of the show, and it was wonderful to see you just keep winning and winning and winning and winning. And you're only 31 years old. Think about how smart you're going to be when you're 62.
I hope so.
How does anybody accumulate that vast amount of knowledge across so many disciplines? It just is phenomenal to me.
Well, I mean, I think you mentioned I read a lot. I would describe myself as a pretty voracious reader, and that's a big part of it, and I have a really good memory. So those two things together, I think, are the real key to remember. Into knowing all that stuff.
You must remember almost everything you've ever learned.
Not quite, but I do remember quite a bit.
So this, you must have been watching Jeopardy when you were in eighth grade as well, to make that comment.
Yeah, you know, where I grew up outside Chicago, the show was on at 3:30, so I'd catch it after school. I mean, not all the time, but, you know, throughout my childhood that it was a Christmas party. I really enjoyed shouting the answers at the TV as a little kid, and I thought I would be pretty good at it when I was in junior high. So I guess at that point you were only allowed to win 5 games, and I didn't realize you're only allowed to be on the show once. so I kind of was dreaming big at that point.
So you tried out for it when, last year sometime?
Yes, there's a pretty formal audition process. They offer an online test every January, the show does, and so I took that in January of 2013 and was invited to try out in person last July in Detroit. So I drove up there and take another test. You play a little mock game. There's a video that the show put on YouTube of me at my tryout, hitting the buzzer and not knowing the answer, which was pretty funny. And so they test your knowledge and also, I think, evaluate whether they think you'd be, you know, suited to being on television, if you seem like you'd be at ease and not too nervous and energetic and all those things
right.
That will make for good television.
Well, the other thing was you seemed remarkably at ease, Julia. You just had this calm manner about you, and it must be nerve-wracking what's going on in your mind to come up with that knowledge, yet you were just cool as a cucumber.
Well, you know, once you're up there during the game, it goes by so quickly. It's only about, the show tapes in about 30 minutes end to end, including the commercials. So So it goes by so fast, there's not really, I didn't feel like there was time to get too nervous. You just are focusing on what the next, you know, what the next clue is going to be and if you're going to be able to ring in with the right response. So I felt like once I was in the moment, there wasn't time to be nervous.
Yeah. And is it true, I read somewhere that you're only asked to bring 3 outfits. Nobody thinks you're going to win 20 games in a row.
Right. Well, most people only need the outfit that they wear to the show and not, you know, not any extras. So they do suggest that you bring 3. And the first week I was on, I did only have 3. So I repeated on Thursday and Friday. But when I went back again for the other weeks, I brought more outfits. I figured I'm not going to jinx myself. I've already done so well.
Right. Did you prepare? I know there are certain categories that you probably dreaded seeing. I think opera was one of them. Maybe the Bible was another. And perhaps Shakespeare. I read that you brushed up on your Shakespeare and brushed up on opera before you did the program, but not other areas. Is that right?
Well, those are two that I think are kind of the, when people think of what are the things that come up on Jeopardy that I don't know, I think those are two of the big ones. But there were other topics I studied. I actually spent quite a bit of time learning about the different NASA missions in the space program, which I only got one question about the Mars rover and not any about the, you know, the Apollo or Mercury or Gemini missions, which, you know, I feel like come up pretty often. There are a lot of questions about the space shuttle, but it's kind of luck of the draw. So I studied a lot of things that I didn't end up getting asked.
Well, just think about how many conversations you can have about those other missions just in your day-to-day life from now on, right? You don't learn
exactly.
Something for nothing. The other area that seems to come up frequently is geography, and some of those questions are really obscure. I would have to prepare extensively to do geography. Is that a hard category for you?
You know, I think that I probably could use some further study in that because there are just so many. Geography is such a broad category. You know, there's seas, there's rivers, there's mountains, there's
right.
Everything. And it's, you know, it's I have a hard time keeping the different seas that are part of the Mediterranean Strait. You know, which one is the Aegean, which one is the Adriatic, things like that. And so, you know, there's just geography is such a vast subject area that I probably should study up on that a bit more.
I love the story of the 99-year-old woman in the audience. I believe you met her, who had a dream to come to see Jeopardy on her birthday, and she did, and you were one of the contestants.
Yes, that was so cool. She had come from Columbia, South Carolina with her daughter. Her daughter must have been in her 70s, and her mother's 99th birthday wish was to come to the show, and you know, she seemed pretty mobile. She used a cane but was walking around, and I was very impressed that she was in good enough health to make such a long trip to Los Angeles. But she was really, you know, really very, very sweet, and I, you know, it was nice to meet her, and what a cool thing to get to, you know, get to make that kind of trip when you're 99.
Right, absolutely. One of your tweets, and I love the fact that you gave us tweets during this whole run, you tweeted, you were curious because people have been asking you, and I wonder this too, people I'm sure ask you what your IQ is because you're wicked smart. Does anybody actually know his or her own IQ? How would you know that? You don't know your IQ. Have you found out subsequently that you have a really high IQ, or do you still not know?
I have no idea what it is. I'm not really that concerned about it. I was actually surprised at how interested people were in that because I always thought that was kind of something that didn't have a ton of, I don't know, it never sounded like something that was really just a great, you know, predictor of much. And so, you know, I don't know what it is. I don't have a real interest in finding out. I mean, I'm pretty sure that I'm pretty smart, and having a number isn't really going to change my life, I think, in a meaningful way.
Right. You did tweet at one point, I'm wondering if it was just this day, I am by far, you wrote, the least educated contestant today. Jeopardy contestants are a bunch of smarties.
Yeah, so that day I was playing against a neuroscience PhD who's a postdoc at the National Institutes of Health. And somebody else who's a political science professor, and so who I can only assume also has a PhD. And so I have a master's degree, which is wonderful. But, you know, PhD is a whole other level of education that I haven't attained myself. So it's across the board, regardless of education level, the people I played against were very, very bright. A very nice group of people, but very intelligent.
Mm-hmm. You told the Associated Press that you're glad that your record might serve as an example of female achievement. It's good to see women being applauded or being smart, and you're passionate about education for girls. Do you think that we don't applaud women for being smart?
I mean, I think that there's usually something. It's not unambiguously about intelligence a lot of the time. Or there's, you know, there's a heavy dose of criticism mixed in. I mean, you look at women who are very bright, very high achieving, like Sheryl Sandberg and Marissa Mayer, and they're both incredibly intelligent, and they do get a lot of recognition for being intelligent and for their achievements, but there's a lot of criticism thrown in there. So it's people talk a lot about how women look. You know, it's like half the stories I hear about Marissa Mayer are about her love of fashion, which is great. You know, it's great she has interest and is a full multidimensional person. But it's not often that you see women being not often enough that you see women being. Being recognized for their intelligence in the media, I guess, more than anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, women are recognized, often, but it's often, mixed with other things. So it's nice that, Jeopardy is a pretty objective platform.
Right.
you're hitting a buzzer and answering questions, and so it's
right.
That's nice to have that kind of, I would say, pretty objective representation of women being smart. And there have been tons of really good women players this season. I've watched, I think, more regularly than I normally do this year since I've been on. But, and I think that's really great. You know, it's normal to be smart. And if it's something you see all the time, that's great.
And things are changing for women. I read that this year female contestants really outnumbered male contestants 78 to 64.
Is that right?
Yes.
I don't know why that is. I got the impression that the show makes a concerted effort to have gender parity in the contestant pool.
Right.
I'm surprised that it's not quite 50%. I don't know if that has to do with, I don't know why that is. That's pretty close to 50%. So, I know in the past, there have been, historically, I don't know how recently this has changed, but that there were more men on the show than women. And so I know that they do, I think, seem to make it a priority to have gender, more or less gender balance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on a given show, it's always going to be, it's never going to be 50-50 because there are three contestants. But that aside, I think, over the course of a week, there's an effort to have the pool of challengers be more or less 50-50. That was the case when I was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, it seemed to be about half and half.
We're inviting people to call in and speak with you. We have a Facebook comment. I wanted to start this with a Facebook comment from John. Jeopardy, he writes, is as much psychological as a test of knowledge. And the way Julia held steady while her opponents melted was masterful. She could be behind in the middle rounds, but would go on a run that would break her opponents' wills. She did it with humility and grace and that smile. I don't think it was until she won 20 times that Alex realized what a phenomenon she was for the show. What do you think about that?
I can't really speak to Alex's opinion. He's very professional, but also very friendly and fun to chat with. But I do agree that there is a strong psychological element.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, especially early in the game, if they have a little trouble getting into hang and buzzer, or they're trying to ring in and somebody beats them, or they get a response wrong, or they don't know something, then that can kind of make people lose some of their confidence, which is a real killer if you're in terms of winning. I think you have to really just just kind of, you do have to kind of keep your cool and think, well, I didn't get this one, I'll get the next one. You know, I didn't know this one, maybe I'll know the next one. And so I think being up there, you realize how many things you don't know. And you can't let that rattle you, and that is a big element. I didn't really notice as much when I was playing because you can't really see the other contestants, but you could see sometimes people did look a little deflated.
Right. What was amazing, Julia, was how much you did know, because you were going into Final Jeopardy. You're going with no chance of losing because you were so far ahead. You had double the amount of money of the contestants. That's a good place in which to be, isn't it?
Absolutely. If anytime you can get that to happen, that's ideal. And some people achieve that by betting really big on the daily doubles. I didn't really use that strategy myself, but you know, that is ideal. I did a few times. I bet towards that, and on a daily double towards the end of the round to be in that position where I had more than double. Because then the pressure is really off to Final Jeopardy. Final Jeopardy is, the questions are, I found, a lot tougher than the regular questions, or at least it's tougher because you have to try to answer. You know, when the regular rounds, you can kind of cherry pick. You can think, well, I don't know this. You know, I don't know this information, so I won't ring in. But on Final Jeopardy, you're stuck.
Mm-hmm.
You got to try to answer. So if you can make it as low stakes for yourself as possible, the better.
Mm-hmm. You also tweeted that I believe a friend of yours in the audience suggested, this must have been a warm up before the show, that maybe you ought to date Alex Trebek's son, which must have been pretty embarrassing. What was his response? What was his response to that?
I think he said that his son has a girlfriend. It was very uncomfortable because first my friend said, during commercial breaks, he takes questions from the audience. And my friend had been to almost every taping. This, I think, was in towards the end of the run. And so she'd been to many, many tapings and she'd asked a lot of questions. So I think everybody kind of knew that she was my friend and was with me. Oh, how old is your son? Is he single? Said, oh, he's not single. So he's 23. How old are you? And she said, oh, I think he's too young for me. But how about Julia? My friend is like a year younger than I am. So it was very awkward. I was not too happy about that for them. Humor, and I just kind of took it. I took it in stride, and I don't know. Didn't give me a hard time about it. So that was good.
That was good. Julia Collins is our guest this hour. If you watch Jeopardy, you know the name Julia Collins. Other people have called her Jeopardy Julia. Won her 20th straight game on Jeopardy earlier in June. And the winning streak is second only to Ken Jennings in the show's 50-year history. Isn't that amazing? It's been on the air, which gives you hope for commercial television that this show is on the air for 50 years. It's worthwhile. She won $428,000, more than any other woman who has appeared on the program. And she's a Midwesterner. I think that came through on the show. Kind of humble and smart and unassuming. And she has degrees in history and art history from Wellesley, and she also has an engineering degree from MIT. She is a business consultant. I heard on the show that Alex asked her if she had found a job. I don't know if she's employed now, or she certainly can do some media interviews and take her time about moving into what she's going to do next. She's a voracious reader. She's only 31 years old, and we welcome phone calls for her. Maybe some of you have tried out for Jeopardy. If you are an avid viewer, you have all kinds of questions, I'm sure, about how the show actually runs. Feel free to join our conversation, okay? Here's how you do it. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org. Our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show, and we are also on Twitter @KDunnShow. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go to phone calls. Julia Collins, Jeopardy Julia, is our guest this hour. And we start our phone calls with Steve in La Crosse. Hey, Steve.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
All right.
Good.
Hey, question for Julia. I guess I have really comment and a couple of questions. First comment, it was really great to see you on the show, and I'm kind of missing seeing your face every day. So first question is, what's up next for you? And then secondly, I've always been curious about what happens during the wagering for Final Jeopardy. So maybe if you could talk about just the logistics of that and how it all works.
I've been pretty busy with Jeopardy and some post-Jeopardy stuff, so I'm not really sure what's next for me. I've been enjoying the Jeopardy experience and looking forward to being back on, I think, sometime later this year for Tournament of Champions, although I don't have official word yet for that. For Final Jeopardy, there's a bunch of things happen during the commercial break. Somebody comes out and they put up those barriers between the contestants. And then you get some scratch paper. The contestants during the game can see everybody's scores. They're actually to the left of the scoreboard, kind of up high. So sometimes before Double Jeopardy wager or Daily Double Wager, you'll see somebody kind of look up into their left, so the viewer's right, and that's they're looking at the score. So we can all see them. And so you get some scratch paper and you can, you know, do some math on the paper and figure out what you're going to wager. And you get a few minutes to do it. You can kind of take your time. They really don't rush you. And then once you've decided on your wager, you write it onto the screen on the podium, you know, where it shows up eventually. And once you're satisfied with it, you hit accept. If you change your mind after you've written it on the screen, you can get them to clear it and you can write something else. But once you've accepted it, actually somebody from the standards and practices group that Jeopardy works with comes over and looks at what you've written down officially and makes a note of it. So if there's an equipment malfunction, there's still an official record of what you bet for Final Jeopardy. So their standards and practices is involved in a bunch of different ways with the show, but one of them is the wagering to make sure that there's no funny business. If something goes amiss with the electronics, that it'll still be officially reported what you bet. So once everybody does that, then you return from commercial and the clue appears and you try to answer in those 30 seconds. But the wagering all happens off camera.
Thank you very much, Steve, for the call. Do you have your thumb on that buzzer all the time? Is some of the strategy just to make sure that you hit that buzzer first? And how do you do that?
That is a big part of the strategy. It's critical because often at least one other player will know, you know, will want to respond, and often both other players. And so hitting the buzzer at the right time is really crucial. So I think everybody has their own little way of doing it. The show had a fun little video from the Battle of the Decades where the Battle of the Decades contestants talked about their buzzer strategies. Everybody holds it a little differently, but keep your thumb over it, and it's activated when after Alex reads the last word of the clue. So somebody actually, I think, flips a switch or something, and the buzzers are activated. So getting that timing right, being able to buzz in right when you finish reading is really critical. So that is a major strategic advantage if you get the hang of it, which I obviously did.
Right.
So that is really critical, and getting that timing right. If you buzz in too early, if you buzzed in, you know, before he was done, you can get locked out. But it's part of a second that you get locked out. So actually, what you're instructed to do by the producers is to, when you buzz in, to hit the buzzer repeatedly, which you can sometimes see people doing.
Yes.
They hold the buzzer up a little higher. I usually held it below the podium so you couldn't see it, but occasionally you can. And you can see everybody hits it repeatedly, or if they're doing it right. Because then even if you get locked out, if you keep hitting it, you'll be allowed to buzz in. And if
right. Nobody
else buzzes in, you'll still be first.
Hmm. Let's go to Pat in Green Bay next. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I love the show, too. But I and all my family are hooked on it. When they all come home to visit me, we watch some of the recorded ones and then, you know, try to run the categories. But I thought one of the nicest things you shared was how you had trouble talking publicly when you were, I think it was kindergarten, I can't remember. Well, I know you said for show and tell, you would just stand there and hold it. And I thought that was such a great thing to hear, because I was a little quiet too when I was that age. And I'm so afraid that some parents today automatically think, oh, I have an autistic child. So I wonder if you could just, I don't know if you talked about it earlier in the show, because I got a phone call in the middle of your interview.
No, she
but
has
I'd
not.
I'd appreciate if you could share that.
She has not talked about it. Julia?
Oh, yes. Well, thank you. That's very nice. I was just very shy, and I was very lucky to have a really kind and wonderful kindergarten teacher. I had her for 2 years of pre-kindergarten and kindergarten, and it was important. She knew me well, and it was just a very nurturing environment, and that was really nice. But it wasn't. I was very shy and very shy about talking in front of the class, and that I wasn't, I was never criticized for it or castigated. She would try to ask me questions and draw me out, but it was never, never made me feel, I guess, worse about being so shy. So I think that was really important that it wasn't stigmatized. I mean, I felt very uncomfortable, I remember, and sometimes I cry a little bit, but it was very important that I felt, that I wasn't being, pushed to do something I was very uncomfortable with. I still have to stand up there, but that was really nice. I think it was, as I said, it was important that, she knew me.
And look at you now, how life has changed. Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Thanks, Pat, for the call. Ron in Chicago is next. Hi, Ron.
Hello.
Hi.
My question is, because you're so smart, do you ever find yourself dumbing yourself down at parties or even in relationships because you're afraid someone will think you're a know-it-all?
I wouldn't say that I've dumbed myself down. I mean, you have to tailor your conversation to the environment you're in. So, I have interests that are kind of nerdy and sometimes a little obscure, but I also, I like to watch TV, so I'm happy to talk about that at parties, and I don't really feel like that's dumbing myself down or that I'm expected to do that, but, you want to, Emily Post says the essence of good manners is putting other people at ease. And so, making good conversation is finding something, that's interesting for both people to talk about. So, I have highbrow interests, but I have lowbrow interests. It's, you just kind of find what you have in common with somebody else and talk about that. But in general, I don't feel like I have to dumb myself down, and I've never really felt pressure to do that. I have some pretty smart friends and a smart family, and so they've always encouraged smart and everything. So I think a lot of it is just finding common ground with whoever you're talking to, no matter what the topic is.
Right. Well, Julia, I think you should be a talk show host.
Okay.
Don't you? You're so perfect, your background for it. And what you just said indicates to me that you would be successful doing that, because you're trying to find common ground and make people feel at ease, and you can converse on so many different topics. How about that for a career?
I mean, that sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun. Did you take in, I know a little bit about the variety of your interests. You tweeted, and I didn't see the picture of this, I just read about it, that you recently, I think, took a cake decorating class, and you made a Jeopardy cake of some kind?
I took the class actually a couple months ago, but it was not too long after I finished all my taping, and so we were having a little family party because my family knew how well I'd done, and so I've been interested in cake decorating, and my sister had actually gotten me like bought me classes, cake decorating classes for Christmas. And so I was taking advantage of that. So I wanted to learn how to do some of the fancier decorating things since I'd never really tried them before. So, you know, that was a kind of way to combine two interests, Jeopardy and baking. And then I've gotten to take a couple other baking classes since then, which has been pretty fun.
We wanted to, for those of you who have not watched Jeopardy, although you've had 50 years to watch the show, I want to ask Julie about what the everlasting appeal is of Jeopardy. We wanted you to hear her, at least, on one of the programs, and we'll welcome more phone calls after that. Ron, thank you so much. It was a good question. And here's how you can ask your question, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our guest is Jeopardy! Julia Collins, the just recently her 20th straight game on Jeopardy!, her winning streak second only to the infamous Ken Jennings in the show's 50-year history. She has won more than any other woman who has appeared on the show. She is a native of Kenilworth, Illinois. She has degrees in history and art history from Wellesley and also has an engineering master's from MIT. I always like to find out what people are reading, and so we'll talk to her about that. I understand she likes to read a mixture of fiction and nonfiction, so what's on her reading list during these summer months? And we'll take more phone calls for her in a moment. But first, let's listen to a little bit of Julia Collins on her winning streak on Jeopardy!
We give a hoot that the weakow, or laughing this bird of New Zealand, laughs no more. Julia.
What is an owl?
Owl, yes.
All gone for 800.
The giant rice rat of Martinique hasn't been seen since 1897. The introduction of this cobra foe may be responsible. Julia.
What is a mongoose?
That's it.
All gone for 1200.
The last known thylacine, or tiger, of this Australian island died in 1936. Julia again.
What is Tasmania?
Correct.
All gone for 1600.
Answer. Daily double. You have increased your lead.
3,000.
I thought you might say that. You like even numbers, and 15,000 would be an even number if you are right. The wolf, named for these islands, wasn't around for the 1982 war. It was hunted to extinction a century before.
What are the Falklands?
You are right again.
This hour, we're just having so much fun with a woman who's had an extraordinary achievement. Julia Collins won her 20th straight game on Jeopardy!, and I can tell that many of you listening are fans of that program, which I thought you might be, so we're inviting you to call in 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Ron is next from Scandinavia, Wisconsin. Hi, Ron.
Hi, yeah. Thanks for taking the call, and Julia, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. As a former teacher, I'm very impressed with your intelligence, and it's good to see gray matter working so well. just a quick question, actually two questions. One, I understand that the show is all taped in one day, and number two, if it is taped in one day, what do you do in your free time?
Well, the show does tape a week worth of shows in one day. So wow. There are three, the Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday shows are taped, and then there's a lunch break, and then Thursday and Friday. So it's a busy day being at the show, especially was for me since I was playing in all, you know, in all the shows for several days. But what do I do in my free time? I read a lot. I like to be outside. I like to go to museums. But mostly I like to read, you know, I see friends and family, but that's reading's my big hobby.
And you do fiction and nonfiction, both at the same time?
Yeah, I like to have, I like to have more than one book that I'm reading at once, because sometimes you're in the mood for one or the other, and sometimes you read something that's a really quick, kind of a quick light read, and then, you know, balances out to have a couple things, mm-hmm. a couple things going. So I just finished Sister Carrie, the Theodore Dreiser, yesterday. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to read next. But I've been, I got about halfway through Team of Rivals and then got sidetracked, so I think I'm going to try to go back to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little behind the times, I think, with the bestsellers, but I'd like to read Doris Kearns Goodwin's newer book, The Boy Pulpit.
Yes, really, you'll like that. It's a wonderful book. We read that and had her on a couple months ago. Good taste, good book.
Yeah, she's great. I always love hearing her speak, and I've read a bunch of her other books, so I'm looking forward to reading that. And I have to figure out what I'm going to read next on the fiction front. Those tend to go a little quicker usually than the nonfiction.
Right. Did you read The Goldfinch or not? Is that on to be read or?
I did. I read it. I read it as soon as it came out.
I heard it's good.
Oh, it's terrific.
Is it?
Have you read any of Donna Tartt's other
books? No, I haven't.
Oh, okay. So I have loved The Secret History, which is her first book, and then she has one other novel called The Little Friend. But it's been a long time since she has something come out, but The Goldfinch was fantastic, actually. Had the chance to see the painting that's the inspiration for the story. I was visiting New York in December, and it was on loan from the museum where it belongs to in the Netherlands, and it was really something to see it because I just read the book, but the book is really wonderful. I thought it was well deserving of the Pulitzer Prize.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll read it next, probably on vacation. Thank you so much, Ron, for your call. Kate in Milwaukee. Hi.
Hi, and congratulations, Julia. You did a fantastic job. And my
Thank you. When you
made the comment, I was just listening to the show, you made the comment as far as your kindergarten teacher being so important to you. And I don't really have a question, but I think it's great to give a shout-out to the people that are important in your life and perhaps sent you on the path of learning, which comes from home as well as education. I'm a retired MPS teacher, and you don't really know the influence that teachers have, but at least you did. So that's pretty much my comment.
Thank you, Kate. Always good to applaud teachers in my book. Do you want to talk about those people in your life who encouraged your brain?
First and foremost, my parents are and were both lifelong learners, both always reading. They had kind of different interests from each other. My dad liked to read a lot of histories. My mom reads pretty widely, a lot of fiction, also a lot of nonfiction, she's the first person I talk to about, what have you read lately that you like, what should I read next, and my dad also was quite a lifelong learner. He was always looking for opportunities to learn new things himself and shared that with my siblings and me. My parents took us to a lot of museums, but then also my teachers. As I said, my kindergarten teacher was very, very wonderful and nurturing, and then I felt like all of my elementary school teachers, I think approached school our learning with the mindset that it's not something you just should do in school. So I felt like, it was always the idea that that learning should be something you do all your life,
right?
And not just homework, not just in the classroom. And so that's been very influential. And then I had many wonderful teachers in high school and professors in college and grad school. So, so I've had a lot of encouragement over the years. And as I mentioned, I had very smart friends. I was talking to a childhood friend of mine, and we were talking about how when we would get together, we'd play and play games and play with our dolls, and then we get tired and we both want to read. So, I think I found the right people to be to have in my life as friends also. And so, being and learning and being smart were always things that were valued by, I think, everybody in my life, which was really nice. So I got a lot of encouragement from all corners.
Julie Collins is our guest this hour, and she, in case you're just tuning us in, you may be familiar with the name and with what she's done. She won her 20th straight game on Jeopardy earlier in June, her winning streak second only to Ken Jennings, and she won a whole lot of money and more than any other woman who has appeared on the show. It's just a terrific story, and she's from the Midwest and had such a nice presence on the air, just really, you know, friendly and unassuming and kind of humble and really, really smart. So we wanted to chat with her, and that's what we're doing this hour. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Email is talk, if you'd like to use that route, or you can also find us on Facebook, The Kathleen Dunn Show. I guess I hadn't realized, I don't know how this escaped me, that Jeopardy had been on the air for 50 years. That is such a long, long run for a commercial television station to be airing a program like that. Why is it so long-lived, do you think, Julia?
I think that other people enjoy it for a lot of the same reasons I enjoy it. It's informative, but still entertaining. You know, I think everybody gets a kick out of shouting the answers at the TV, and nothing sweeter than knowing a response that none of the contestants do.
Right.
I still enjoy that, even though I know what it's like to be up there and hear the crickets chirping. I think that's something that everybody gets a real kick out of. And you always learn something new. Even when I was on the show, I sometimes would hear the clue and not know the response, and I would think, oh, who knew? Or that there was a question that Einstein predicted or thought that lasers could be something that could be invented, and I never knew that. So I think that's there's these little factoids and bits of trivia that you can pick up from the show, and often they're very interesting. So I think that really, resonates with people. People are interested in learning new things, and especially, as I said, it's a pretty entertaining format. It keeps it pretty light and fun, and I think, those are the reasons I like it, are probably the reasons most people.
Yeah. Let's go to Deborah in Michigan. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry. I was distracted for a minute there, but what I had written, started writing down a bunch of things, but when you said that you loved your kindergarten teacher, I loved mine also, but I loved my first grade teacher also. Mrs. Miller, and after I left my hometown in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I wrote a letter to her about 1985, Mrs. Miller, and I told her how much I appreciated her and how wonderful she was. But I think a lot about education, and I wonder, I thought yesterday, I had this idea, they should have a school that just has art, music, and a foreign language. And I wonder, then they can compare it to every other school, because there seems to be an ongoing dilemma with education. I wondered what your response or idea of that idea.
Julia.
Are you saying that it's a school with only art, music, and foreign language?
Right.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that having a well-rounded education is really important, and it is a shame to me to hear about schools that have dropped things like art and music, since that's such an important part of being a well-rounded person and being exposed to new things. I hadn't considered it. I mean, I don't have children, and I'm long out of school myself, so I haven't thought too much about primary education, but it's an interesting idea, but I think you'd be ill-served by not having a good foundation in math and science and history and all those and things, and becoming a good writer is so critical. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but having those things at the expense of no art and music is a real shame also, and the foreign language is so important, I think, in our world and developmentally as well.
How are you able, when I watch Jeopardy, and maybe this is just a sign of age, I'm not sure, but I know an answer. A question will happen, and I know the answer, but I can't bring it out of the deep recesses of my mind in enough time to shout it out. How do you have it right there, right away? I just think that's phenomenal.
You know, it's It's tricky. Sometimes I had those moments where I thought, I know this, but I can't remember it. But, I mean, often, you know, often it's the first thing you can think of. I know that clip that was played a little while ago about extinct animals.
Yes.
You know, a bunch of them were not things I necessarily knew much about, but one of the clues, it says people gave a hoot or something like that, and it was like, well, then it must be about an owl. So a lot of it is picking up on those context clues rather than recalling the information from nowhere. So that's a big part of figuring out the right response. And so a lot of it is being able to parse those context clues within the clue that will point you in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tricky. I mean, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you just draw a blank. I rang in once for a clue that was about, I think, the saints who drove the snakes out of Ireland, you know, according to you know, legend or story. And I thought, well, everybody knows this. I'll ring in because, of course, I know this. Everyone knows this. And then I buzzed in and I went totally blank. And I assumed it was St. Francis. When, of course, I think everybody, you know, almost everybody in the United States and Ireland and, you know, in the Christian, who's been raised in the Catholic, at least Catholic tradition, probably Christian, you know, the St. Patrick. And I, it was just, it was just one of those moments where your mind goes totally blank and you think, I know this, but I can't think of it. Oops.
I know. And you remember it. I remember doing an interview back when I was just in the business and I had these two guys on talking about income taxes. And I don't know anything about income taxes. And I asked, well, let me ask two of these basic common questions about income taxes, because I'm sure some people, you know, we all think about these. And if I couldn't think of either one of them. And I was just blank. Oh, I didn't know what to do, and it was a commercial station after this commercial break. But it's funny, you remember that. I remember years and years ago that happened, but the mind goes blank sometimes. And I always feel for the contestants on Jeopardy when that happens, because you know they know it. It just flew out of the mind somehow, right?
I know, and I know watching the show, I could see that happening to other people. I mean, I remember when it happened to me. One man got a daily double clue, and it was about, you know, the pilgrimage to, you go to Mecca and you pass through Medina, and you could tell, I could see on his face that he thought, I know this and I can't think of the word, and it's Hajj, and he couldn't come up with it, and I felt terrible for him.
Yeah.
Because you could tell he just, you know, you could tell from the look on his face that he knew exactly what it was and the word wasn't coming to him, and it was a bummer.
Yeah. And well, was that a common feeling, or are the contestants so competitive that you just don't even talk to each other very much, nor do you feel sorry for each other if you get the wrong answer?
Well, you spend a few hours with each other before taping starts. Actually, there's a kind of a lengthy prep and rehearsal segment to the day before taping starts, so that everybody knows what the rules are and what happens when, the logistics of the show, and then you get quite a bit of time to practice on the stage. They have some practice games that you play, and one of the producers pretends to be Alex and, you know, calls on you. So you get to stand up there and push the buzzer and call out the categories so everybody gets comfortable. And so you have time to talk to the other contestants and get to know them a little bit. And it's a really nice group, and people are pretty friendly and pleasant. And
good.
Yeah, they're really interesting, smart people. So, I certainly went into every game with no ill will towards the other contestants.
Good. wanted to beat them. That's all right.
Yeah. I mean, I did. There were a few times when people weren't able to play in Final Jeopardy because they had they didn't have any money in their you know, on their board, and that was, I did feel really bad.
Yeah. Julia, we're out of time. Thank you ever so much. Congratulations. It was wonderful to watch you, and we'll look for the Tournament of Champions down the road. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. Julia Collins, our guest this hour. 20th straight game winner on Jeopardy, second only to Ken Jennings. She won more than any other woman who's ever appeared on the show. Thanks to KP Whaley for putting together this wonderful program.